are listening to the podcast of the White Church at the Elk River YMCA in Minnesota. Our mission is to seek Jesus, connect together, and share His love.
Awaiting the new body. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that there is mortal may be swallowed up by life. For now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad.
All right, thank you, Carol. Well, what is your preferred way to camp? I think it'd be fun to do a little poll this morning and see how you would respond to that. I'm going to give you three options, and you can just raise your hand, pick one of those that would be your preferred way to camp. Here's going to be the three options: tenting, camping, or an RV. All right, so there's your three. You ready? If you really love to tent, raise your hand. Okay. Very good. Put them down. How about the camper? You prefer to be off the ground. Who likes the camper? Okay, about the same number of people. And if you like just driving this small bus down the road and pulling into your slot and you're done, raise your hand if you're an RV kind of person. Uh-huh. My son. Now, I did forget one. We should add this. If your preferred way to camp is not to camp, raise your hand. There's the hotel people. Yes. Well, whatever your preference may be, most of us probably have a pretty strong response to the idea of camping. At least that's been my experience, is that there's not a whole lot of ambivalent people. Either you love to camp or you will avoid it at all costs. But one thing is for sure, whether you love it or you're never going to do it again, there is nothing quite like the feeling of finally coming home, of finally getting back home, to finally sleep in your own bed instead of a sleeping bag, to finally enjoy your own hot shower instead of trekking to the public restrooms, to finally have a bathroom that's just down the hallway instead of trying to hold it all night long so you can avoid the porta potty, to finally have a home-cooked meal instead of the soggy supplies that are in your cooler, to finally have AC again and no mosquitoes. I remember as a kid coming home from these long camping road trips and just then arriving home and walking around the house, this place that somehow before the trip I had come to take for granted. But now I would go in my room and I'd snuggle all my stuffed animals and I would just lay on my bed and I would unpack my suitcase because I was finally home. In today's scripture passage in 2 Corinthians 5, the Apostle Paul is expressing this kind of longing for home. He is away still at this point. It's his earthly life. He's on this lengthy journey. And yet, it kind of reminds me of the lines that Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz says, "There's no place like home," and he's longing to finally be home, just waiting for that day. Paul, of course, is not thinking of his earthly address, but he is thinking of his heavenly home. And so we have this comparison in the passage of our earthly life being like a tent. And he's comparing eternity in Christ to finally arriving at home. All of us long for something that is beyond this life. Maybe certain times or seasons or moments in your life, you feel that more strongly than others. But God has woven that into the human fabric, that we long for something that would be more permanent. And some of us are certain of what is to come, and others of us might feel a lot of uncertainty, might have a lot of fears or questions around these things. To all of us today, may these words of Scripture lift our eyes to the assurance of things to come that is available to you in Christ our Savior. So before we begin, would you pray with me? Let's ask the Lord to be with us. Lord, we long to hear from you now. Something far beyond the words of a mere man. We ask, Lord, that you would bring your word to life as we study the pages of Scripture. Lord, in these words today, would you prepare each one of us for that final journey when we will come home to you? Lead us, Lord, towards that good end, we ask in your name. Amen. Well, we have just 10 verses today, and I was thinking that should probably come as a relief to some of you if you've been here in previous weeks. Last week, we did all of chapter 4. Megan did a great job leading us into that passage. The week before, we did all of chapter 3. And so today, it's just 10 verses, just the first half of chapter 5. Now, I have become aware of some respectful grumblings this summer that 2 Corinthians is a rather hard book of the Bible to study, and I would agree. In sermon prep, I would absolutely agree. It kind of is a hard book of the Bible, and yet at the same time, what rich rewards we are finding in this text. Just before reading, Carol came up and said, I didn't know this verse, we live not by sight but by faith, is right here in 2 Corinthians. And how many passages have we looked at already where we find these hidden gems? And I'm going to put some of them up here for us. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all our troubles. That was week one. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And then we moved into chapter 2. But thanks be to God, who is always leading us as captives of Christ to spread the aroma of Christ. Chapter 3, and we all with unveiled faces are being transformed into his image. In chapter 4 last week, but we have this treasure in jars of clay. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And my brothers and sisters, this is why we are studying 2 Corinthians. Where else can you find this? On Netflix? In the news? I am so thankful that we get to study God's Word together. It is such a joy to do that week in and week out. And this portion of His Word, 2 Corinthians, has somehow seemed foreordained for us this summer, hasn't it? And that's often our discovery, is that we begin studying something and we say, wow, God, how did you know that I would need to hear this Word from you this summer, in this season? And so, yes, I acknowledge we've had to roll up our sleeves and parse through some difficult passages, but the outcome, I hope, is just arms full of spiritual fruit that you are seeing in your life. And if it's any consolation, at the end of summer, we'll shift back to some more narrative passages that tell stories. I know the epistles can be a hard place. So that's on the horizon, but for today, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and the first 10 verses. Now, let me give us a roadmap before we get started, and that is, this is one of those passages that unfolds very naturally as we read from verse to verse. So if we just follow the big themes of the text that way, it will unfold before us, I think, and make the plain things plain. But above all of the details, I'd like for us to keep one thing front and center, and we'll put it up on the wall for us. We long to leave this earthly tent and be at home with the Lord, but here or there, our goal is to be pleasing to Him. This is the big idea of the passage this morning. We long to leave this earthly tent and be at home with the Lord, but here or there, our goal is to be pleasing to Him. So verse 1, Paul seems to say, let's start with what we know. Verse 1, and we'll share each of these up on the screen. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. So your body, the one you're sitting in right now, my body, is the tent. And some tents here are older than others. Some of us are keenly aware of the signs of aging on our tents. And so you might say, well, my tent has been around a few years. The canvas is showing some wear. The polyester has sprung a few leaks. The tent pegs aren't all quite there anymore. I was getting my hair cut earlier this summer, and I wondered out loud with the stylist, you know, just making small talk. And I wondered out loud with her, I said, I wonder when I'll get my first gray hair. And I tell you what, she didn't miss a beat. There was like no pause. She's clipping away. She says, oh, you already have. And I about fell out of the stylist chair in that moment. And so then that night, what am I doing? I'm in front of the bathroom mirror scanning my hair, and I'm saying, honey, she wasn't right, was she? And about 5 seconds and a tweezers later, and she proved that she was. For some of us, our earthly tent is showing its age. For others of us, our kids in worship, students, young adults, you're still at an age where you're young and strong and you're growing. You're not living in an old tent yet. You probably don't even think much about the tent that you're living in. And some of today will just be about filing this away for later, because the day will come for each of us, even the youngest of us, when we'll need to remember what Scripture says about the old tent of the body. I've told this story before, so I won't bore you with the details again, but just in summary, I remember being in my mid-20s and playing Ultimate Frisbee and diving out for a disc, and I caught it, but I rolled over my arm and my hand in a funny kind of way, and I popped up with the Frisbee, and I looked at my hand, and I just remember clear as day this sight of my pinky being off to a 45-degree angle at the second joint. And the thought that I had was, I broke myself. I didn't know this could happen. I just was shocked. And I remember the realization from that day, and you know, going into ER where it wasn't broken, it just was terribly disjointed, and they popped it back in. And I remember realizing that day, my body is breakable. It's a totally new thought. At some point, we all have to face our own mortality and come to grips with the broken body that we live in. That it's not invincible. It's not permanent. It's not going to live forever. That's not true for you, and it's not true for the children that you're raising. But Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. My Father's house has many rooms. He says, if that were not so, I would have told you, but I'm going ahead to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may also be. And Paul says, you know, you're really just living in a tent right now. That's what we've got, but there is a permanent home that's ready for you, an eternal house in heaven, not made by human hands. And so one day, you will be done tenting. That day will come when you finally go home. I was asking myself this week, why do so many of us, including myself, live as if this tent is all we've got? I want you to imagine, Alicia said she was all right with this. We're going to unplug her piano here quick. I want you to imagine that this whole instrument is yours. We'll pretend that it's mine and it's sitting in my living room. I have this beautiful piano that has all these capabilities and makes music. But all I do is I focus day in and day out on the plug. all my attention is spent right here, not anything behind me. And so I've got this beautiful instrument, this vast machine that can play something gorgeous, and yet my attention is right here, and I'm focusing on how my 401k is doing, and if my yard is trimmed enough. I'm focusing on where my checking account is at, or my problems at work, or I'm focusing on if the twins are going to get their bullpen figured out, or who's dating who at school, or the gossip in my neighborhood, or if I'm going to get a starting position on the team this fall. We spend all of our time here, and yet the Bible seems to be saying to us, open your eyes, it's not about the plug. But there's so much more that you don't see. And for Alicia's sake and ours, I'll plug this back in before the second worship set. But Scripture says there's so much more beyond this. There's so much more to the piano than the plug. Life is short and transitory compared to eternity. The Bible says, to put it in another picture, that your life is like a vapor. I mean, of all the small things they could have picked, it's one of the smallest. James 4:14 says, you are like a mist that appears and then is gone, that vanishes, it says. And I think of, you know, these mornings in July when it's humid and hot out, and you wake up early enough and you see the morning mist that's out on the yard before the sun comes and burns it off. And yet, we're out there and it's like we're trying to bottle up the mist and we miss the sunrise that's in front of us. And yet there are those times in our life when our eyes are lifted and maybe there's something that happens that sort of jars us back to reality and the transience of this life comes into view and we long for home. That's where verse 2 takes us. We'll put this on the wall. Verse 2, it says, meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. And I want to ask you this morning, if you know that feeling of longing to be with the Lord, some of the older saints among us, you know this feeling. Some of you have told me here on Sunday mornings. I think of Marilyn, and I think of Grandma Cooper. I think of my own grandma. Some of you are at that point in life where this longing lives inside you. But to those of us who are younger, you know, you don't have to wait until old age to long for the things of eternity. Do some of you know that? Have you experienced it yet in your life? Those days when you say, oh God, if we could just fast forward the clock. If I could just be at home with you. You know, Paul says in another place in Philippians, he says, to live is Christ, but to die, that would be gain. And to some of you know that. I'm ready, Lord, you say. Lord, whenever you're ready, I'm ready. You just take me home. One commentator I was reading this week says that we're meant to be restless pilgrims. Restless pilgrims. I love that description. And I picture myself, you know, like on the deck of the Mayflower, surrounded by the sea and scanning the horizon for shore. I lived in a tent for one whole summer during college. Probably half of my good Sunday morning stories come from 3 months in college. I won't tell you too much about it, but there was a summer I lived up in Homer, Alaska, and my buddy Mike and I literally were trying to make money for next school year, and we're up to our armpits in fish guts every day in these giant totes and containers. And we would shower once a week. And there was this dear saint of a woman in town who gave us that weekly shower. She would let us come over and clean up, and she would make us a home-cooked meal. And I think now to myself, only the love of Jesus could have compelled her to let us in her house. And that's exactly what it was. She loved the Lord, and she would have us over, and we would clean up once a week. But when our summer of work was done, our tent and our Carhartts smelled so bad and were so beyond redemption that we just lit the whole thing on fire on the beach. One of my daughters told me this week, "Dad, did you know the male brain doesn't mature until it's 27? I said, "Yes, I'm aware of that." I mean, we lived there a whole summer. We had pallets and wind blocks, and we'd made a deck for ourselves outside. We were glamping, not camping. And we just lit the whole thing on fire on the last night and walked away. And the flames were like 40 feet in the air. But we were done with that stuff. I mean, we'd been counting the days. We were short timing it, and we knew that we were flying home to real beds and real houses. You ever can't wait to get home? That's what Paul is talking about. Let's look at verse 4 together. "For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." Now, this is the one tricky spot that we'll navigate today. I actually thought we could kind of gloss over this part in a way, but I love studying these passages because there's things that are, you know, are so close to the heart and they're readily applicable. And then there's things that the Lord is just teaching things about what's to come. And so this is the one spot we're going to navigate something that's a little tricky. Verse 3 actually started us in this direction when it uses the word naked. And now in verse 4, it says, "We do not wish to be unclothed." And what he's talking about here, what Paul is talking about, is the window of time between when we die and when Christ returns. So in technical terms, this is called the intermediate state, or we might say, a little easier to remember, the in-between time. Now, we won't take the time to look at other scripture passages that spell this out, but let me just say this. The clear teaching of the Bible is that there are two things that happen to those who die in Christ. And I think this is important for you and I to know, so we're just going to spend a minute or two here. First, from the moment of death, our soul is immediately with the Lord in heaven. There is no wait. There is no delay, but we are immediately in the presence of the Lord in heaven. However, the earthly body is not. I mean, that's the tent, that's the shell, the empty shell that is buried. The second thing, though, that happens is that on the day when Christ returns, the soul, then, that is with the Lord in heaven, and the body are reunited, but now it's a resurrection body. And that day will be an amazing day when we receive our body back again, in a sense. And it's sort of like the body we see Jesus in after the Easter story and before he ascends to heaven. And so you see in those stories, even about Jesus, that resurrection body is the same, and yet it is so different. Plenty of people are recognizing Jesus and seeing him, but then there's also cases where they don't. It's the same in that Jesus has a breakfast of broiled fish on the beach, and yet, listen to this, he also can walk through doors. So it's the same, and yet it's different. And I imagine, you know, if Henry Ford could have had a sneak peek at a 2020 Mustang back in 1908, and I tried to display maybe, if I was really good at Photoshop, he'd have been like leaning on this thing, right? So Henry Ford in 1908, if he could have seen the 2020 Ford Mustang, it would be the same and yet so entirely different. What we have here, and Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians 15, is the perishable putting on the imperishable. This is a major upgrade, the resurrection body. And Paul is talking in our passage for today, in 2 Corinthians 5, about that in-between state when the soul is in heaven but doesn't yet have the new resurrection body. And he's saying, let me just paraphrase what he's saying. He said, "Oh, I wish that I could just go from this old tent right into that resurrection body in glory. That I could just skip death and the bodiless state and go right to the grand finale. That would be amazing." That's what he's reflecting on here. But however it happens, that heavenly dwelling is what it's all about. Not the morning mist, but the sunrise ahead. Verse 5, let's keep studying. Verse 5 says, "Now the one who has fashioned us For this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. When we were booking our airfare for the London leadership trip, we were working with a nonprofit travel agency that works specifically with churches to help them facilitate mission trips and things like this. They're in the South Metro, they're called Fly for Good, and they did a great job just navigating us through the price comparisons and the process. And then it came time to commit to our flight. It's a big day. 18 students and adult leaders from the Y Church. And what did we have to do? Tara, our administrator, put a check in the mail and sent our deposit. And that was the day when the trip became very real for us. Now, the deposit isn't the whole shebang, but what does it mean? It means we are committed. We're coming. You tell London. The Holy Spirit for the Christian is the deposit. There is more to come, and life with the Holy Spirit now guarantees it. You are headed to where mortality will be swallowed up by life, and you were made for this very purpose, the Bible says. It's not about the plug, but the piano. Verse 6, Paul now is going to draw some conclusions. He says, therefore, we are always confident. And I just pause in the verse and say, you know, this is coming from a guy who is writing in the midst of persecution and beatings and opposition and slander and shipwreck and sickness, but he is confident in the most important things. And for Paul, that overrides everything else that could go wrong in his life. Do you know that you can be confident even when life is beating you down? Paul shows us this way, this kind of perspective, that even when life is pounding me, I can have this perspective and a confidence in something that is bigger than all of this. He says, therefore, we're always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. And here's that verse, Carol, buried right here in the text. For we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And that's this longing for home. You remember the big idea? This is what permeates the whole passage. It's the perspective that we can have, that you can have, when we would say, you know, I would prefer to fold up this old tent and go home to the Lord. But here is the thing about living and dying. It will not come as a surprise to you, though I often need the reminder myself, that you and I don't get to call the shots. You know, unless the Lord returns before then, the day will come when it's written in an obituary or it's announced at a, maybe at the Y Church. Yesterday, Bjorn Dixon passed away. And you can put in your own name. You know, today, Michelle Krieger passed away. Today, Tara Tiki passed away. That day will come unless the Lord returns. And none of us knows when that appointment will be. When our earthly tent will be folded up and we will go home to be with the Lord. But Paul says, I don't know when that date will come for me and I don't know when that date will come for you. But whenever it comes, our goal in life is always the same. And so we turn to verse 9 where he says, so we make it our goal to please him. Whether we are at home in the body or away from it. And Paul is saying here to this church community that he loves, that he planted 6 years before he wrote this letter, and he's saying, my dear Corinthians, this is what we get to do, live or die. We get to live in a way that pleases the Lord. And that's the best thing you could ever live for. That is what we exist to do because he is worthy of our worship and praise. And I think the Greek wording is significant here. The NASB, what you have and what I have, the NIV, the NASB, captures it perhaps a little bit more literally, where it says, we have as our ambition to be pleasing to Him. And that word be is significant. It's small, but it's in the Greek, and I think it's important. Because without it, we might get this sense of, you know, pleasing the Lord, like I have to be a busybody, a self-righteous busybody that's hurrying about trying to get all these religious duties fulfilled and please the Lord. But when it says be, to me that speaks more about identity, that this is who you are. And you get to live this life filled with the Holy Spirit, having Him lead you and direct you to be pleasing to Him. And that takes us all the way to our last verse for today. Up until this point, most of what we read probably could be a wall hanging or be a really nice Christian greeting card. And then we get to verse 10. And it can be a little bit jarring with this stark reminder. Verse 10 in our last verse for today. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. I have never walked into one of your homes and seen this verse hanging above the mantle. Maybe one day. It is true though, isn't it? We will all stand before the judgment throne of Christ and give an account. But here's a critical distinction. This is so important. For the believer in Christ, this verse, verse 10, is not about salvation. Our heavenly home, Scripture is abundantly clear. As you place your trust in Christ, your heavenly home is absolutely 100% secure on His merits and not on anything that you would do or earn. So rather, here's what the verse is about. It is about some kind of heavenly reward. Now, we don't have a lot of detail about this. There are a number of scripture references, plenty of them, that talk about this, but none in great detail. Apparently, it's just sufficient for us to simply know that how we live in Christ will be recognized in some way in heaven. Jesus said things like, "Great will be your reward in heaven." In another place, He said, "You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things." I don't know what that's going to look like. But that's the way He described it. In Matthew 16, He says, "For the Son of Man is going to come and reward each person according to what they have done." And each of those three examples, that's just the Gospel of Matthew. We could turn to many other places and read about this, including 1 and 2 Corinthians. So whatever these rewards look like, we make it our goal to be pleasing to Him. Because one day we will stand before Him as His beloved child, hidden in the righteousness of Christ, and we desire for Him to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Scripture says that appointment is set for all of us. And yet sometimes the earthly appointments on my calendar loom larger than the eternal ones. And I get it backwards. You know, I flip that verse and somehow I start to live by sight instead of by faith. And so I want to ask you this morning, for you, which is more real? What am I living for today? What are you living for? What are you longing for? To dress up a tent a little while longer and pretend that it'll last? Or does your heart yearn to go home and to be with Him? These are pressing questions for us today, aren't they? The questions for us are, what home am I living for? What home am I really living for? The one that's flimsy and fading like a tent? Or the one with a permanent address that's prepared for me in eternity? Will you ask yourself these things today? Are the cries of your heart really for a makeshift bed and sleeping on the ground? Or a home in heaven with your name on it? The hymn writer Paul Gerhardt, he knew that this life is a vapor. In his years of ministry, he lost both a child and then later his wife. And so I think it's so fitting that he would be the ones who wrote these lines. He said, "I am a guest on earth and have here no place to stand. Heaven is my home. There is my fatherland." So my brothers and sisters, as we worship together, as we prepare our hearts to receive him and his grace around the table of the Lord's Supper, where are you making your home? And don't make it here. Let's pray together. Lord, would you lead us into this kind of longing that I think some of us here probably feel especially strong in our lives in this season. Where, Lord, we're ready. And for those of us who are here and we realize this morning we are not ready, Lord, would you do your work in us? Would you set our sights on that which lasts? On our eternal home with you. And every minute, Lord, of this life that you give to us, this vapor, would your Spirit be at work in us that we would live and be pleasing to you? We ask this in the name of our wonderful Savior, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Y Church podcast. For more information about the Y Church, check us out online at theychurch.org.